whistle goes, it calls us home.
Hey guys, this is BPM Man, and you're listening to my podcast on the Fragging and Legging podcast.
Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request! Hey, there's a friend request! Hey, there's a friend request!
All right, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
All right, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fragging and Lagging podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's me, Bobby, your Junkhead. Call me whatever you want, as long as you call me your friend, because that's most important. And before we go any further, I want to say this is going to be a nice long podcast. Make sure you guys are downloading it on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to this on. And Blaze will love you forever. Long time love. So, and as usual,
you love you a long time.
This, yeah, exactly. Love you a long time. This podcast does not really go if it wasn't for the homie, the Beast from Bruges, the brother from another mother, the man who is starting to do roller skating tricks again, or rollerblading. I'm sorry. He's going pro. He's going to be in the X Games. He's going beast mode, baby. X Games mode. Blaze, how you doing, buddy?
I mean, I saw skateboarding is an Olympic sport, so maybe rollerblading street will be an Olympic sport as well, and I can go on my 45th birthday there, you know?
That'll be the senior citizen Olympics.
Yeah, probably. Anyways, everybody welcome, and thank you, Bobby, the muscles from Florida.
Close. How good you enough. Good enough. How
you, well, Florida. You know, Florida. I know, but I say always Florida.
I know. I'm gonna start saying.
How's the weather over there?
Hot. It's hot. Right now, I'm not gonna lie. I'm
hot
shirtless. I'm shirtless doing this podcast, and I don't care.
I hope you manscaped. Hashtag please sponsor us, Manscaped. No, I'm joking. Anyways, I'm having a guest that a few months back already, I kind of announced to Junket that I was going to have him. And Junket was like, I don't know nothing about FIFA.
I don't.
But our guest is a pro trader in FIFA. And as a lot of you listeners know, I used to stream a lot of FIFA, and I even played it on... I had my own YouTube channel and Facebook page with FIFA stuff, and this guy made a way to make a lot of money for people that want to trade in Ultimate Team and get like the top tier players, and he shows it in his stream, and while he's doing it, he's having a chat with his... with his community, with his viewers, and he's been blowing up more and more and more. And he even got partnered, I think, like 2 months ago. And
yay, let's go!
He's from the country where, for the Americans, they call it soccer, but we call it football, like the real name, real football. You know, he's from the country where football got invented. I brought to you guys BPM Man, aka Terry. Hey, Terry, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys, how are we? Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah. So, whoa, my dog's going
meow. Yeah, he's excited too. What are you saying? I'm glad that we finally got BPM Man on the podcast. I translate.
I mean, it's he knows as well. It's been a long. It's been hard. Yeah, it's been hard. Like you.
That's what she said. That's what she said.
You kind of blew up during the COVID period, right? That's when you kind of really started streaming, in my opinion, I think, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, it was. It was during the first lockdown we had here in England. Sort of more, maybe it's more towards the end of it, really. It kind of came about, my wife went back to work before I did. And so I was at home and I was just bored and lonely. And so just thought, why not? And that's where it all came from.
I mean, look... I know Blaze realizes that you're better at FIFA than he is, so I will let him talk down to you like that. Anything he's going to say. No, I mean, I know he's like, it's only fair because we had a couple professional football players on here, and, American football. So it's only fair that Blaze, because I've kind of tried to learn the ways of of football, European football.
BPM, he actually tried. He actually tried.
I was even.
Oh, good.
I was even rooting for his home team, the Red Devils.
Belgium,
like,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Because when I was in the military and I was in Japan, we got the BBC. So we watched a lot of, like, the Premier League. Or, I'm sorry, I know I'm not saying it right. Everyone corrects me. Is it Premier? I don't know.
Premier.
See, I know.
Premier
right
League.
Too. So, like, I was a big fan of the Tottenham Hotspurs, you know. And I was like, you know, I could watch this, you know. And you drink a little bit, but so I mean I've always
would drink
been
a lot if I was a Spurs fan too.
Oh wow, I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like a cool thing to do at the time. So, but I mean, it was one of those. I mean, everyone could have cheered for, like, you know, Man U or anything like that.
I mean, Teddy is a Man U supporter, like
a
heavy one.
I am a United fan. Yeah,
yeah, he is.
Like, I know they play at Old Trafford.
They do.
Get wrecked, Blaze. Bet you didn't know I knew that one. So, but I mean,
you,
I think
you sometimes surprise me. Yes, you
I
do.
I'm glad you're sitting down. I think most importantly is that this is the chance for, like, someone like me who's not the most knowledgeable when it comes to football, is for me to learn about football and what you do that makes it very unique. Because I know Blaze has done several TikToks on trading, and I'm like, dude, I don't get what you're doing. And then, but then I would see his streams, and I'm like, everyone's into it. And I'm like, I don't know. So I really look for. I love these podcasts where I get to learn more about, like, what you and what you do, and it's really intriguing. And I think anybody that is listening to this podcast should feel the same way, because I don't like the idea of people that are into content creations or don't want to learn about certain things, because this could really open up the people's minds to what's going on out there. So
yeah.
I know, it's
been
a long one.
That was a long one.
I know.
But Terry, first of all, so before you became BPM man, you were Terry, right? And you grew up probably super rich, you know, and became a super good football player. And you were playing for Manchester United youth players, you know. And then you probably got some bad luck. And then, so tell us about yourself, man. Like, how did you grow up, and how did you get into gaming, and how did you get up to ending up as BPM man?
Yeah, so, like, I grew up here in the UK. I grew up in Essex. Just a very normal, regular, boring sort of life and childhood up until I was about 15. Like, I went to primary school in the UK, went to secondary school in the UK, and then when I was 15, my family, so myself, my sister, my mum and dad, actually moved out to New Zealand. We actually moved and emigrated to New Zealand. And at the time, at being sort of 15 years old, it was something I didn't want to do at all. I didn't want to go. I didn't know anything about New Zealand outside of the fact that that's where Lord of the Rings was shot and that they had a good rugby team. That was literally all I knew about New Zealand at that age, all those years ago. And so, yeah, so 15 came around. I had this sort of big thing of uprooting my entire life and I'm moving out to New Zealand. And even though at the time it was something I didn't want to do, it was probably the best thing that I've ever done and the best thing that's ever happened in my life, to be honest. I moved to New Zealand and I finished my school there.
How was it there, like, ending up as an English boy into New Zealand? Like, how was it like, you know?
It was really good. Like, when, like, the people of New Zealand are genuinely the nicest, most welcoming people you could ever hope to meet. Everyone is genuinely so nice. After a little while, I think at that age as well, you go into school, it's so easy just to settle in and make friends. And there were people at my school that had also emigrated to New Zealand from England. It was actually an English friend of mine in New Zealand. He actually got me into Ultimate Team. So everything that's happened in the last year, I probably have to thank for it, really. Because without him, I'd always played FIFA, but it wasn't until he introduced me to Ultimate Team that I kind of got into it, really.
You gotta know, I played the first ever FIFA. Like, I've been playing FIFA since it came out, you know.
Yeah, I think the first one I can remember playing was the World Cup 98, and they had that really good, like, indoor, like, was it like 5-a-side stadium or the 7-a-side, like, indoors? That is, like, the first one I can remember playing on, like, the PlayStation, like, the original PlayStation 1. That's the first one. And I've played FIFA ever since, but it wasn't until FIFA 15 that I actually played Ultimate Team. Yeah, and then, like I said, yeah, I finished school. I went and studied. You wouldn't know to look at me, but I actually studied personal training and exercise prescription. I studied that. I did that for a while. And it was something I went into because I was like, I've played football my entire life as well. Not so much the last few years, getting a little bit old now. But it was something that I'd always been into, health and fitness. And I thought, well, it's something I'm into. I'll go and study it and make a career out of it. And it wasn't until I'd finished and started doing it, I was like, it's one of those things where you turn your hobby into a career and it's not really the same anymore. You kind of lose that passion for it, where it becomes a job and you have to earn money from it. So I stopped doing that. And then I didn't really know what I wanted to do, to be honest then. I feel like you grow up, you go to school, you go and study, you get your degree or your diploma or your doctorate or whatever it is you're going for, and then you start.
I mean,
your career,
Junket went for a male stripper, so you're good, you know.
I'm not saying Magic Mike is loosely based off my life, but there's a possibility, you know. I'm just putting it out there. But I mean, I can see what he's saying, though. It's like, yeah, you know, like your passion, your love, something that you enjoy doing, all of a sudden now you're doing it for career. Then all of a sudden it's not as enjoyable. So, I mean, I get that.
Yeah, it gives added pressure and, yeah. So then, I mean, to be fair, even I'm 32 now and I still don't know. Well, I do know what I want to do now after the last year, but in terms of a regular, normal job, I still really don't know what I want to do. And I feel like maybe it's society. You're meant to know what you want to do and stuff. But I didn't. So I had a variety of different jobs. I've worked in communications, installing data and network cables. I've worked in a supermarket. I've been a merchandiser. I was a merchandiser for Coca-Cola. I was a sales rep, and I worked in the, like, my territory was the lower half of the South Island of New Zealand. And now when I moved back to the UK now, I'm a commercial manager for a company in London. So I've done a wide variety of things. And I still don't know what I want to do. So, yeah.
You could be Blaze's personal trainer. Let's face it. He's put on some weight.
Oh, so have I. Especially the last year and a half. Oh. I need a personal trainer.
He needs two. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But so, yeah. So you were in New Zealand then. Like, when did you come back?
So I moved back. It will be 3 years this year at the end of November. And I actually moved back with my wife. So my wife is a Kiwi. We actually got married very young.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, like, New Zealand people call each other Kiwis, right?
Kiwis, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the Kiwi is like the national, like, animal. So yeah, we got married probably quite young. You know, I was 23, she was only 21. But yeah, we'll be married 10 years next year. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, when you know, you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we moved back. Yeah, so it'd be 3 years in November. And we kind of, you know, we were very settled in New Zealand in the sense that, I know, we both had decent jobs. Like, we had our own house, like, we bought a house. Obviously we don't have any children, but we had nieces and nephews and everything. And it was kind of something we talked about. So when we lived in New Zealand, it was maybe 7 years ago now, we actually moved to Australia. I lived in Australia for a year as well. So my wife and I sort of packed up, moved and lived in Australia for a year. Didn't really ever settle, didn't really enjoy it. So we moved back to New Zealand, and then a few years later, yeah, picked up and we sold the house, we sold everything and moved to England.
I mean, the question I have is that, because aren't the rugby, the team, the All Blacks?
All Blacks, yep.
Aren't they from New Zealand, right? So what is that like, being a fan of football and then you go to a country that's all about rugby? I mean, what is that?
Yeah, it was strange because I had never ever watched or properly watched rugby before moving to New Zealand. And I remember when I think it was 2003? I might be wrong. Or maybe 2003 was the Rugby World Cup that England won and they beat Australia. And that was when I first sort of started watching rugby, and they play, honestly, it's everywhere. You play it in school, and especially the city that I lived in, it's sort of it's not big, maybe population about 120,000 people, but it's sort of the south of New Zealand, super passionate about rugby, and they've got their own obviously their own rugby team in the city. So every other Saturday, you go to the stadium, you watch rugby, and when you're that age as well, everyone gets dressed up and you drink, and it's wild, yeah, like super passionate. And they're very proud as well, a country of 4 or 4.5 million people, they're very, very proud of their rugby and their rugby traditions over there.
Yeah, because like whenever I would watch it. You'd watch the pregame, the haka's and stuff like that. And you're like, okay, this is intense. But I mean, I think it's the same way for like the people from the UK with when it comes to your football. I mean, there's that's the way it is. And I seen it with Blaze too. And because like when the World the World Cup was going on, Blaze had his dog dressed up supporting Belgium and. I remember when I came out, I was like, let's go Red Devils, and Blaze goes, they lost.
I saw some tweets from from BPM Man, and my fan site came up so much that sometimes I wanted to get mad at him.
You do, don't you? You see people tweeting and like you get angry if it's sort of having a go at your team, or you're kind of rubbing it in, or it happens a lot, especially during like a World Cup or a Euros or something. People can get quite upset.
I did see the tweets and Blaze's response. He seemed a little bit heated, and I was like, ooh. So
yeah, it was, to be fair, some of the responses got, because honestly, Twitter, there is nobody easier to wind up than a football Twitter fan.
Can you confirm this, Blaze?
I probably shouldn't, but sometimes you kind of tweet on purpose to get a reaction out of people, because it's so easy. You just know you're going to get bites. And it is quite funny because it really doesn't bother me. Like like I said, I'm 32. I'm old enough, probably not wise enough, but old enough to know that what goes around comes around. If you give it out, you need to take it as well.
And so I think a lot of people get, I call it butthurt about it, upset about it. It's like, look, if you're gonna give me shit, then when I don't say anything but I respond back to you, don't be butthurt when I give it back to you, and then you unfollow me. And it's like, for here in the States, it's like politics, like you could be lifelong friends, but when like an election comes through, it doesn't matter, you've been lifelong friends, hatred's made. And I was like, what, dude, I watched you eat mud pies when you were a kid and eat and stick crayons up your nose and eat Play-Doh, and now we're not. Now we can't be friends. I mean, but I can only imagine that was a big shock for you. I mean, because have you always been a Man U fan, or?
Yeah, always. And like, people will probably think you're a typical United fan. I'm not from Manchester, but my family was never one of those like families that they all support the same football team. Like my family's kind of dotted around the place in the UK. So I have family who are Arsenal fans, family who are West Ham fans and Ipswich fans and Leeds fans. So it's not like we were all a family of supporting like one club. And so it was just, my mum always told me from sort of 3-4 years of age, it was just always Manchester United. For whatever reason, they were just the team, even at that age. Even though I couldn't say Manchester United at that age, I used to say Chichester. I just couldn't say it. But she said, yeah, even at that young age, it was just always the team that I kind of would watch on the TV or want to watch, or I knew the players, or I wanted the shirt. Like it was just, yeah, it's always been United since I was sort of 3-4 years old.
Yeah, because Blaze has been prepping me for this. Like we would call it a football field. He's trained me. It's called the pitch.
It is, yes.
It's called the pitch. Thank you, Blaze. He sends me these notes. Don't mess this up. It's called the pitch. And I mean. And I've known that, like, to me, like we have British, friends from the UK, and it's like your guys' sense of humor is definitely different than like mine and like Blaze and stuff. But yeah, in the end, it's all in good fun. It's all in good jest. But, so you transitioned back to the UK. I mean, did you regret leaving New Zealand, or do you wish you stayed there longer? Or
no, I don't regret doing it. We moved back. We knew that when we moved back to England, it wasn't going to be a permanent thing. We knew that we weren't packing up and coming here forever. It's something, especially when you live in New Zealand as well, it's a big thing to come over to the UK, potentially live, but to travel Europe a lot. Because over there's nowhere, you know, you really are not close to anyone. Like, even Australia is sort of a 2-3 hour flight away. I think people think that New Zealand and Australia are right next to each other, but even though they are, it's still, hours and hours on a plane away. So it's a big thing to come over to the UK, live and travel. And like I said, when I moved, I was only 15 years old. So I'd never lived in England as an adult. I'd never worked here. I'd never, outside of a football competition, I'd never been anywhere in Europe before. So if something you wanted to do was come over here, you know, we live in London, we want to move to London, have that London lifestyle and experience, and then travel around Europe while we worked. And obviously, we all know what's happened the last sort of year and a half, if not more, with COVID. Whilst we were settling in and started to do those things, obviously COVID's put a big spanner in the works. And so everything we wanted to do, and everybody else around the world for the last year and a half at least, has all kind of been put on pause at the moment. So obviously, whilst we don't regret moving here, it's just, it would have been nice to have been in New Zealand, just because they had very few cases. Their lockdowns weren't as long as they were here, and everyone over there is, compared to what we've had to put up with in England, has had it easy, in my opinion, compared to what we've had it here. It's been horrible.
I mean, same in Belgium, by the way. But I know in the US with Bobby, it was he was surprised how many lockdowns we had.
He was like, we're on our fourth lockdown, and he sends me a video. He's wearing like a chemical warfare kit. He's like, here, I'm just going to get some bread. And I was like, dude, we don't even wear masks outside. And I was like, you know, like, and it outbroke here in the States, ridiculous. It's still exploding, you know, and, you know, like, I think you guys are on, in Europe, you guys are on, like, what, your fourth or fifth lockdown?
So, for me, in England, we're not in lockdown anymore. In fact, we've just had what they're classing as Freedom Day about a week ago, where sort of pretty much all restrictions are gone now, like, legally anyway. They're still encouraging people to social distance and wear face masks and all that type of thing, but we are pretty much now classed as Freedom Day, although still certain things, like I think sporting events, they're saying you're gonna need like a COVID passport or to prove you've been double jabbed before you can go to certain events and stuff. So
double jabbed.
Who knows if that's ever gonna happen. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but yeah, obviously the season starts, at least the football season here starts in 6 weeks. Maybe
in Belgium it already started.
Oh, did it
already started here? Yeah.
Yes, I think we're about 6 weeks out, so I don't know what's going to happen with fans being let in the stadiums and all that type of things. So, but yeah, so cases shot up again here. They were calling it the third wave. They kind of went up to about 50 odd thousand confirmed cases a day, and I think we've had 4 or 5 days in a row now where the cases have come down. So hopefully we're past the worst of it for the third time around.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Everyone's safe and all that kind of good stuff out there. I mean, but in a way, I mean, COVID kind of worked for you in a good way with the lockdown.
It really did. And, you know, if we can all take something positive out of the last year and a half, like, it'd be great. But, yeah, without COVID, I wouldn't have streamed. Like, simple as, if COVID hadn't have happened, I'd never have ever streamed.
So wait. So you never streamed up until COVID?
No, never. It was
Blaze. You lied to me in your notes. You said he's been streaming for 15 years. Blaze.
Totally.
But I mean, I agree with you, because when COVID hit and like where I worked at, we shut down. I didn't have anything, and that's what kind of this podcast blew up because of that. You know, so it worked out well, but I mean, that's just hard. I mean, because so you're now a partner streamer on Twitch. So you've been streaming for about a year now.
Yeah, just over a year now. Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome, man. I'm golf clapping. Another sport that was born where?
In England.
In England, golf clapping. See, Blaze told me to say that. So thanks. I mean, no, I mean, it's just that just shows. I mean, like a testament to your love and your passion and what you're doing. I mean, to get partnered and under in about a year, that's just, you know, if you're not slamming a pint after this podcast, slam one. I'll drink one for you.
All right.
I mean, he got how you say that? You got hosted by many times by a bunch of bigger FIFA streamers in England and stuff, and you like caught the eye from a lot of people when you were streaming. Even me, I'm a small time streamer now, but even me, you caught, and you were doing something that was kind of in a way unique if you compared it to what other streamers were doing with FIFA, and that's a good thing you did, you know, like. But so Ultimate Team Junket is where you can make your own team by opening packs and by trading, so you can get better players. And BPN means bronze pack, man. So you got bronze packs that are the cheapest packs to open. You got silver packs and you got gold packs, and you can, like, you know, also do kind of, let's say, missions, so you can get those packs for free, and you can do stuff so you can, like, you can build teams, like do kind of, how you call that, quests or tasks, whatever. How do you call it again in FIFA, BPM? I'm lost.
So you can, like, objective
squad builders, squad builders. Yeah, okay. yeah. You can do squad builders and do objectives, and if you do them with the players you don't you know really use, you can, like, really get nice packs from it and open them up and get more money. The whole point about Ultimate Team is collecting as much money as you can, so you can open as much packs or buy as much players, so you have the ultimate team, you know, the best team you can have.
So you don't play with this team, though, right? It's just a team thing?
Or no. You also play with it, of course. Oh, okay. Yeah, you do, both.
Whoa, Blaze, keep it clean, okay? This is a PG-13 podcast. Just kidding.
Where I was going to lead to, he's using, like, a special trick to do it, and that's the bronze pack method, and I want him to explain it to people that are listening, what the bronze pack method is exactly,
okay.
You know?
Before he goes into that, and I didn't want to cut you off, for people like me that don't understand what a pack is, because I've watched Blaze open packs when he was streaming it. What is a pack to begin with?
So a pack basically is it's a pack that you open that can give you more players for your team, or it can give you consumables. So what you mean by consumables are, you'll have a player in your team and he'll have a contract, so he can play for your team you can play 10 games with him, and then you need to apply another contract to him so you can keep using him. So they'll have things like contracts in them, or they'll have what you call a chemistry style in FIFA, which means certain ones will boost certain stats. So it might make them faster, it might make them stronger, it might make their shooting better. So you're basically wanting to open these packs to improve your team and improve the players you use in FIFA.
Oh, okay, so
and that kind of explains
it. You get it?
No. So kind of, it's like, in reality, it's like if I get a pack of, like, baseball cards, you know, but minus the consumables and stuff, I can get players and stuff like that from that and put them on my team. Correct? I mean, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I've heard him always talking about packs, and I'm like, I don't get it. What's a pack? You know. So now that I understand. Because I know Blaze would get a little heated. Open this gold pack, and then he would get, like, the water boy or something, you know.
Not the water boy, but so, yeah, but no, just ahead. A bad
this
player.
Is like, this is really intriguing because, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that it's great to play the game, but they're like, with, like you're saying, with Ultimate Team, there's more to it than just playing football on the game.
Yeah, like Ultimate Team. If you've never ever played Ultimate Team, trying to explain it to someone is nigh on impossible, especially since FIFA 15, no, since maybe FIFA 16, the changes that have been in FIFA are huge. It's a completely different game to what it was a few years ago. Like in FIFA 15, when I first started playing Ultimate Team, it was basically you had your packs and you had your team and you would just play the game. You would just play games, like actual games with your players over and over and over again. Whereas now what we have with, we call them SBC, so squad builder challenges. So you have to, you use players, you buy players, use players in your teams to put them in what they call an SBC. So you might have, it's really hard to explain, but you could have like a team of 11 players and you have to make them fit in a certain way to get, to achieve it. You have objectives to do, you have things like the draft, never used to be in FIFA. Oh, this is probably going to sound completely foreign to you, but like things like FUT Champs was never in FIFA, only until FIFA 17. So FIFA 17 took a huge leap forward in Ultimate Team and really changed the way that sort of everybody plays FIFA.
True that, true that. Even, you know, when FIFA came out the first time, what was it, FIFA 11, if I'm right? Was it 11?
Barry? I don't know. I honestly couldn't even tell you.
The first Ultimate Team, I think, was in 11, right? So when that came out, it was so intriguing to me, right? It was just, you know, something different, something that could get you hooked onto the game. And in the first time, like the first year, there was a lot of unfortunate scamming and stuff, but you could actually trade players with friends people you played with. And people were getting scammed and this and that, so that's why they kind of canceled that.
We don't say the scam word, Blaze.
Well, yeah, no. People were getting scammed. Like they would be like, send me Ronaldo and I'll send you this, or I'll send you money, and they didn't do it in the end, you know. And
then
EA like canceled the trading in that way, which in a way is unfortunate, because if you had like a good friend, you know, you could like do it together and you could like try each other's players out before you bought them, Terry, which was pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so unfortunately, obviously, with being, did not start an Ultimate Team until FIFA 15, I totally missed the whole trade offers segment and part of FIFA. Yeah. So I always see people say wanting to bring it back. So obviously, I don't really have an opinion on it, because I never saw it in the first place. But I know that, like you said, yeah, people had an issue with scams and people mm-hmm. buy and transfer coins with trade offers as well. So I can understand why it was taken. But it does seem like it was a very popular thing back in the day.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was an unfortunate thing. It was usually, you know, young kids getting scammed by other young kids and, you know, or even in between brackets, online friends that, you know, gave each other, one gave a player to him to try and he never gave it back and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a thing. Plus, then you had those Chinese traders. There's a lot of things with Chinese traders that were at some point also Junkhead, that was before the price caps came on certain players, that you could like pay a company that used bots or whatever to get coins, and with those coins they bought one of your cheapest players for like 15 million, and when you had 15 million you could buy all the good players from the transfer market, and you would have an amazing Ultimate Team. And these companies were making a lot of money doing this, and so they found ways by capping. They're still doing it, I heard, but it's a lot harder because it's way more regulated now, and players have certain amounts of value that they have and that they don't go over. And so the game evolved a lot from when it came out the first time, but it gives a different dimension to playing it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have, like, please don't laugh at me, guys, when I ask this question, because I'm that guy that BPM Man's talking about. So is Ultimate Team a game or something inside of a FIFA? Or is it two separate games?
Yeah, at the moment, it's inside FIFA. So if you want to play FIFA Ultimate Team, you have to buy the physical or digital copy of FIFA.
Gotcha,
and then
gotcha.
It's a segment inside the game. At the moment, I mean, I'd love for it to be with the size of how big Ultimate Team is, I'd love it to be its own separate game mode. It was maybe something that you download once, and then it's not like a yearly release, you know. It doesn't, maybe your team resets at the start of the new season and you go again, but and that way, especially with gameplay, I know Blaze will be able to attest to how bad at times the gameplay can be in FIFA.
Oh, I've seen his streams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the weekend leak. Oh, my God. The weekend leak. It's been broken for a million years, in my opinion, you know. But I can't understand so how they ahead, cannot fit. Like, why is the gameplay different on Weekend League than on something else? I really don't understand. Just make every game the same, you know?
You can play FIFA and you have the different gaming experience, the
sweats,
every single
Do you
time.
Call them sweats in FIFA? I mean, the sweats.
Like, oh, man.
We call them sweats here in the States on everything. So But so you pretty much, obviously, like Blaze just told, the BPM stands for Bronze Pack Man. So you pretty much build everything from, so is bronze the lowest level pack you can get?
Yeah, so a bronze pack costs 400 coins. So, and then
as that's not a lot. That's really not a lot.
It's not a lot of coins, but also the players you get aren't very good at all. Like, the players are pretty pretty worthless. They're pretty useless. They, you know, it's not something you're not going to want to. You get bronze, silver.
That's the players gold, you get that you would like give away for free almost. You know.
Yeah,
that's,
you wouldn't want them, but. From doing that with these SBCs that EA have released.
Squad building challenges.
Squad building challenges. It actually calls, even though the players you'd never actually use in a game, they actually have a coin value depending on these SBCs, because you might require these certain bronze players to go into SBCs. So you'll get people who,
have
we
money.
Call them like the casuals or the Timmies, who actually have no idea of this
Did you just do a Tim the Tat Man reference and FIFA?
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah,
that's
Timmy Tenders.
But yeah, so they, like, so many people, I think, just they just have no idea of this social media FIFA world. They have no idea about Twitch and Twitter and YouTube, and they really are like the absolute casual player. So they will just look and see that you need a player, and they will just go out and spend whatever they need to spend to get it done.
Yeah.
So, I literally run my club through bronze pack method and good club management. Like, most is it fair to say?
It is a grind, right? It is a big grind.
Yeah, it's a very long term grind. Like, I do it pretty much day one of the new release and do it all through FIFA. It's not something that you'll do today and then by next week you're going to have the best team. It's a long term grind. So obviously it does take a lot of time. So if you have time to put in the game, it's a good thing. But it's a way of playing the game where you don't have to spend FIFA points. So you don't have to actually use your real life money on an in-game currency, which is something that I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to spend
the whole,
my money.
The whole thing with the game is that they ask a lot of money for the game already. You know, like, if you want the Ultimate Edition or whatever, you're going to be spending between 60 and 80 bucks or something like that, Junket. And then after that, they make millions and millions and millions of dollars just by people buying coins or points and
microtransactions.
That's the one. So I don't want to do that. Yeah, like, you don't have to. I can fully appreciate what people do. So if you are a casual, maybe you work a lot and you don't have a lot of time, and you're happy to spend a little bit of money on the game, and you know that it doesn't guarantee you anything either. I think that's probably another thing. Just because you've gone out and spent £80, £100 on some FIFA points, it doesn't actually guarantee you anything.
I know guys that play the game. Like, one of my viewers is actually a pilot, and he makes a shit ton of money, right? And he just buys, on average, every week, I think, £100 in packs. Like, in coins, and then open specs with it, you know? And he's got a crazy ass team in the end, because he does sell it when he gets. And he already packed in the last week twice Messi, for example, you know? But this guy makes a lot of money and he's flying, so he doesn't want to bother trading, you know?
Yeah,
so that's the guy you're talking about.
I think in that scenario, it's fine. And like, I think people might think I have a thing against FIFA points. I don't have a thing with FIFA points being in the game. I get why it's there. It's incredibly smart business. It's how they're implemented and how easy they are and how addictive the pack system in FIFA is. And whilst some people might not agree, for me, it's a form of gambling. It's a type of gambling. You know, it's a game that is classed as 3+. So you're, you know, literally anybody can go and buy this. You know, mum and dads probably don't know all the things that go on. And you just genuinely think it's just a football game. But like, as we were saying, it's so much more than just playing a game nowadays. And how easy it is to rack up huge amount of bills and spend crazy amounts of money. It's how it's implemented and the addictive nature of packs and FIFA points that I have a problem with. And obviously, I think, Blaze, you would have noticed the last few weeks, EA have almost fixed it in a way that the preview packs, so
yeah,
you get to see what's in the pack before you actually buy it, which is just pure genius from EA. It's so smart.
But the thing is, I haven't been on FIFA in the last month, honestly, so I was wondering, do you like pay something to see the preview or not?
No,
or how does it work?
It's the same as always. So you just go into the store, you would open the, it says preview pack, you preview it, it opens up as per normal, and then it will show you the entire contents of the pack. So you will know exactly, and then you can check player prices as well. So you'll know if you're spending coins and you spent 100,000 coins on this pack, you'll know straight away that if I can make money back or not.
It is
smart because, yeah, more and more. So if, say you preview a pack that's 100,000 coins and you get Ronaldo in it and you can make millions from it, but you've only got 50,000 coins in your account, you actually can't complete buying that pack. So yeah, are you going to play the game and earn another 50,000? Or you go, you know what, I'll just put on a few hundred FIFA points, go and buy that pack, and then I've got him. So EA have won already. They've already got you spending money on the game, and it's going to happen more and more often, especially in if they bring it over, which I think they will, into FIFA 22. Stuff like that. Like, it's genius. It's absolute genius from them.
I mean, but damn, it seems like what I think you enjoy more, like you said, some people, and like Blaze was saying with his buddy, he would just rather want instant results right away by buying, you know, getting the FIFA coins and buying whatever you want. So like for you, it just seems like what people would say is an arduous journey to get where they need to go. I think it's so much cooler, I think, because you're like, I'm just going to go straight bronze and I'm going to build what I need to get off of that. And I mean, that's pretty freaking awesome, man. I mean,
yeah, it's the grind of Ultimate Team, building your Ultimate Team. Like, that's like generally the first few weeks of FIFA Ultimate Team are like the most fun for the entire year. It's like, it's building up your team, and like, it makes every pack, it actually has a proper value to your entire club. You can always use it here or there, or you can do something with it. It's just the way that I personally like to play the game, and I think that's where most content creators will do it's called a road to glory. So it's a term that used to mean playing the game without spending money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or your road to glory is however the glory is, whatever you want the glory to be. So your journey to your glory. But in recent years, it's kind of turned the phrase of road to glory means not spending money on the game. So most content creators will do a road to glory, but they'll also have what they will class as their main account, which they then put FIFA points on, and how they can create a lot of content through that way. So I think that's where I'm different. Like, I don't have a second account or a main account where I spend FIFA points. So I purely play the game as a free-to-play player. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing your stream is built around, and that's where your nickname comes from, Bronze Pac-Man. So
yeah,
like, it's hard on, because we're also talking about Twitch, but it's hard on Twitch to be different from other people, and you found this thing that made you different from other FIFA streamers, and for that people started watching you to see how you did it to get such good players, so much money, and they were looking at how's he doing it, and you made that YouTube video, the bronze pack method, and people that came in your chat had to do !BPM, and they could see it, and you were showing it every time in your stream. You were like, I know when certain packs come out, you want to like, or SBCs, you want to like do them immediately, but you're like, okay guys, I'm gonna finish it when we're online, we're gonna do it together. So you keep all that momentum for the moments you come online, and the good thing on PlayStation and is also that you can go on other people's accounts and open packs for them, so you have viewers stacking up packs and saying like, hey, open my packs in your stream please, you know, and I think that's a really cool thing to do.
Wait, so you can open up some other people's packs for them?
Yeah, you know the share play feature on PlayStation, so you can go onto somebody else's account through share play and open packs for them, like, technically, yeah.
Dude, that's... I might... You know what, though? That's it. I'm not playing any more Battle Royales.
He's gonna go to FIFA.
FIFA Ultimate Team.
This might be a very unpopular opinion, what I'm about to say, but in my share play isn't content creation. Like there is no you've not created any content. You've let a viewer create the content. You're just reaping the benefits of their hard work. Even though obviously you don't get the packs yourself, technically, you're getting the benefit of having the content for your stream. And like, I do share play. I love it. It's so much fun. We have so much fun doing it, like share playing people's packs. And I have terrible pack luck for my viewers. I've not really packed anyone anything good this year. They'll attest to that. But it's not content creation. It's easy content. And I'm just probably pissed off a lot of people then. But in my eyes, it's not content creation. You've not done anything. You've just got some very, very loyal and very nice people who want to support you and help you do it. And like I said, I do it all the time. It's great fun, but it's not content creation for me.
Well, and I think Blaze and I, we've sat and we've talked about this when we're not streaming, just in Discord talking, is that I think there's that nowadays content creators want like instant success. They want the, like you said, they want the glory without going down the road. And much respect. I mean, because you could at any time just stray from the method that's been working for you and do whatever you wanted to do. But you built, like Blaze has said, this is how I do it. Just opening bronze packs and doing the little things to, you know, get the team that I want. So.
Yeah. And like, I just in case anyone was, I didn't invent the bronze pack method. It's not something I invented. Like, yeah, I don't want anyone to think, oh, you didn't invent it. I didn't invent it. It's sort of something that's been around for a long time, but I've just sort of, it's how I play the game, and I do it slightly differently.
You've perfected it.
Oh, I'd like to think so. I think you can always do better, right? Like, I've had a good method this year, and this year I've done it. This is going to confuse you even more, I'm about to say now. You can upgrade players, so you have an upgrade system. So you can put certain amount of bronze players into an SBC, and it will give you a pack for some better players, so for some silver players. So the bronze to silver upgrade method is a way of getting silver players, which you will then need to complete these SBCs. So I've always, from FIFA 17, when they came out, to up until last FIFA, I've always done, open my 400 coin bronze packs. I keep the players that I need to use, and then the players that are worthless, that you're never going to use, you'd put them in a bronze to silver upgrade pack to get silver players for basically for free, for super, super cheap. But it's so incredibly time consuming that this year I decided not to do it. I think we've done it two or three times this year, but overall I've not done it this year. It just takes too long. What I've done is I've held on all those players that you would think are worthless. I've just held on to them. I've kept them in my club and I've not touched them. At some point throughout the year, EA will release an SBC, a squad building challenge, that even a 50 rated bronze player is actually super valuable. So over the Black Friday weekend, it's always a big promotional weekend for FIFA and for EA, and they do a lot of, they call them flash SBCs. So a squad builder challenge, some of them will be there, like normally SBCs are there for days, weeks or months. These are just out for an hour or two. So people are in a mad rush to get them done. So they will overpay for the players they need to complete an SBC. So just over Black Friday weekend, so for 3 days, I made over 500,000 coins by just selling bronze players that I had in my club. And so I kind of, from there, I've just held on to them. And I know a few other people have done it as well. And so if ever I needed those silver players, if I didn't get them from doing the upgrades, or if I didn't pack them, with all the money I was making from selling the so-called worthless bronze players, I could then just go out and buy them anyway. And I've just saved myself a lot of time of doing the upgrade packs by doing it differently this year.
So pretty much like, ooh, I just, you know, it's not a funny bone when you smack it on the end of a desk, but like you were saying, is that you just held on to what people said weren't worth anything, and then now all of a sudden they went from bronze to silver value, and you know, So like if you had a bronze player that I wanted, I would just pay, I would buy him off of you or trade off of you and use FIFA coins, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. You would buy him with your coins, your FIFA coins, yeah. So except you wouldn't know it's me, so they get listed on the transfer market. So you might have 1,000 bronze of this same bronze player on the market. But you would buy him.
Oh, that's like, man, I don't know if I could play something like that because it might be too addicting. And I'm like, you know, next thing you know, it's like 3 a.m. I got to go to work in like 2 hours and I'm just wearing one sock and a beanie.
Yeah, it can get like that, yeah.
How long is usually your streams when you are streaming this?
It really depends. So when I was in lockdown, obviously we were in lockdown. I wasn't working. I would stream sort of 4 days a week, maybe five. And when we first, like I said, my wife was at work, so I would stream 4 or 5, like 6 hours at a time. And then as things progressed and my wife, when we had a second lockdown, I was at home with my wife. Obviously, I was then streaming. It wasn't fair on her if I streamed 4 or 5 days a week for 5, 6 hours at a time. Obviously, she's stuck inside by herself. So I did scale it back. So sort of we went for four days a week for about 3 hours. And if there was anything in particular that we were doing that would take longer, I'd always let the wife know we would be on stream a bit longer. But yeah, normally 4 days a week for about 3 hours. But the last month, if not more, probably more now, I've actually had to go, I've gone back to work full time. So I work a stupid amount of hours. It's not fair.
I noticed.
It's an ungodly amount of hours I work, and my streams have taken a big hit. But I'm not happy to say it, but I'll happily admit it. My streams have taken a big hit the last few weeks. And like, it is, people class it as the dead end of FIFA. So the game cycle is coming to an end.
Yeah, in the summer.
Content we've got lately has been amazing, and you'll see other content creators are actually growing in the so-called dead period of FIFA. But you know, when you're doing 50, 60 hour weeks, you're in 6 days a week. I'm currently in the middle of a 13 day straight stretch at work. Some days the last thing you want to do is come home and then have to stream for another sort of 3 hours or so. I just don't have the energy to do it. And so I aim for 3 days a week, probably 2 to 3 hours. But I have noticed a hit. Like it definitely you still have your, I've got some incredibly, incredibly loyal viewers at 100%. Like our community is so great. We don't have issues with people. You always get some idiot who comes in your Twitch chat and types something stupid. But 99.9% of the time, we have such a great positive community, and they're the ones who are still there. But I've definitely noticed a drop in. It's not all about the views, but a drop in viewers, a drop of engagements, and that's got nothing to do with the viewers. That's on me. That's on me not being able to keep up with the levels I was doing. And you know, if you're not streaming, then of course somebody will go and watch somebody else, and they'll start watching them more. And you know, I'm probably now, I've been very lucky so far in the last year with how I've streamed. Very lucky with the support and the viewers. But right now, this is probably my real like hardest moment of streaming. Probably right now, like my real one, I don't know, downturn in views and engagements right now. Like I'm in a tough spot now. And it purely is just because I physically don't have the hours in the day to stream. So that is on me. Like I can't, like I'm not even making TikTok videos anymore. Like I've been in and out of TikTok, on and off. Some days I get into a really good routine and I post daily, and then I won't post anything for a few weeks. So it's on me now. I'm back at work to try and find a good balance between work and, you know, being married and having a life, and also streaming. And I suppose from where we were at the real peak of where I was at, getting sort of 200-300 viewers every single stream, and I think the most we had one stream without a raid was like just over 600 people, and like that's just crazy. That's a crazy amount of viewers.
And see, I'm just curious, I have to ask, what is that like to try to keep up with your chat with 600 people.
It's incredibly hard. Like, I always want to read everybody's comment. I hate missing comments. But it's like the best part of streaming. You're like interacting with your chat is the best part. It doesn't even really matter what you're playing. Like, the best part of streaming is your chat and your interaction with the chat. So it is incredibly hard, and obviously you do miss comments, but I always want people to put their comment in. I hate missing comments. But yeah, so now, you know, we had obviously a massive drop in views. It's hard when you go from where you were to like where we are now, you know, and I think that's just something that I need to get my head around, is that I don't do this full time. You know, content creation, streaming isn't my job, even though I would one day love it to be. It's just, it's not something that is feasible or even sensible to do. So like, when I go back on what I said about why we moved to the UK was so we could travel and experience new things around Europe and stuff, packing in a full-time job to go and stream, it's not why we moved here. It's not fair on my wife while she moved to the UK. If I would be saying, you know what, I'm going to quit my full-time job, even though it doesn't pay particularly well, we still get an income from it to go and stream. You know, even when I had my peak viewers and I had a few hundred subscribers, the money I got from just Twitch on that still wouldn't have even covered half of my rent. Like I said, living in the middle of London, it's crazy expensive living in the middle of London. Stupid amount of rent, and then you think we've got power to pay, we've got water bills, we've got tax to pay, travel, and like everything. And it's not like, I think sometimes people can look at some stream and be like, well, he streams full time, but he might be 10 years younger than me, and he might still live at home, and he might not have any bills to pay, and he might not have anyone relying on him. So it's very hard to go
remember
from where
when
we were
I,
to where
I
we are now.
I remember you put out a tweet saying like, hey guys, any tips on full-time streaming or something?
Yeah.
And I remember I kind of reached out to you and I said if you want to talk, we can talk. But like, I was where you were, like Junkhead knows that. I was at a point where I had 1,000 viewers and then 500 viewers and whatever. And it was also in a period of my life where I had the possibility to do it, you know? But now I have a child, I have a full-time job, I got my girlfriend, I got a second one on the way. So I just stream
second
for
child, not a second,
second
girlfriend.
Child or second,
second
girlfriend.
Second
yeah.
child, not a
second,
second
child. Yeah, sorry,
let's
sorry. Sorry.
In trouble.
Yeah, I gotta watch out. So it's hard. But I tell everybody who streams, if you want to go full time, you gotta go full time. When you have the sponsorships that pay your wage that you need, you know, and all the rest like donations and subscribers and all that should be your bonus and should be kind of the money you put aside for the darker days so you can keep on full-time streaming. But if you cannot live from your sponsorships and stuff like that, you should never go full-time streaming. That's what I always tell everybody.
No, that's good. And like, when I first started streaming, there was never an intention of ever it becoming a career. I didn't stream one day going, you know what, this is going to be my job, you know. And I know, and whilst I'm saying this, there's probably people at home listening who are streaming. You go, I'd kill to have the viewers you have. And it probably sounds very sort of almost ungrateful and arrogant, but it is hard to justify.
You gotta be responsible. You gotta be an adult, you know? Like, I see guys going full-time that live at home with their moms and dad, and if they ask me, hey, should I go full-time, I'm like, go ahead, dude, you're fine. You have no, like, real obligations. Like, the only thing you gotta do is maybe pay a little bit rent to your parents, and
yeah,
that's
absolutely,
it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So
that's the time to do it. Like, you know, could I have said, oh, no, God, if I'd started doing this 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago, would I do it? But then if I was 10 years younger, would I be the person that I am now streaming? Would I have that engagement with people? Like, you're a totally different person. So it probably wouldn't have worked if I'd streamed 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Like, it's just, this was just the moment to do it. But it's just, yeah, it's just, you know, the thousands of pounds every month I pay you and my wife and I pay on bills and rent, and insurance and tax and everything. Like, to try and earn that just from streaming is just, for me anyway, like I said, where I was at my peak is impossible. It was not even half my rent was being covered from it. So you'd have to do YouTube as well. And I just, it's too big a risk.
No, it's really commendable, because I think a lot of people think that once they get partnered, I'm quitting my job, I'm just going to live off of that, you know. I mean, and I'm sure once, if you had a number in your mind, you know, realistically, I would have to achieve this every month to take care of this, and like Blaze said, incorporate your sponsorships behind it to compensate for the extra little thing just in case. But like Blaze said, is that those people that are young that live at home with mommy and daddy, they may have to pay some rent, or they don't have to pay their car payment, their automobile payment, none of that. Everything's taken care of. You know, go for it. Full send
yeah,
it. You know, but there's so much more behind streaming. Like, like me personally, you know, BP, I'm in the same boat you are. Like, when we did the big layoff, it really allowed this podcast to grow, because there's times where Blaze and I were recording 4 episodes a week, but it allowed that time because our schedules were better, you know. But then when I went back to work, it started off at 12-hour days, 5 days a week, and then it went down to 8-hour days, and then went back to 10-hour days, and now it's 12-hour days. And I just don't think is that what people don't realize is that when you work that, like I work 12, you know, 62-hour work weeks, right? And like when I get home, I don't, it's not like I want to stream. I want to be engaging with my community, and I'm sure you feel the same way, is that people don't understand is that when I get home, there's things I have to do, you know, like, you know, whether it's do stuff around the house, take care of the, you know, mow the garden or pit, you know, grass or whatever, there's stuff I have to do.
Yeah.
And then like by 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock, I go to sleep so I can wake up at 4 o'clock every morning. And
yeah, exactly.
It's so taxing on your body, you know.
Yeah,
and,
it is, yeah.
Like Blaze just said, dude, I can't believe they make you work that much. And I was like, well, that's America, you know. I mean, that's how it is. And it sucked because, you know, and it sounds like your community is still behind you no matter what they're understanding.
They are, yeah.
But the worst part about it is that there's community people out there, like you said, that when you're not there, they find somebody else. You know, I was like,
absolutely,
oh, dude,
yeah.
I'm there for you, Blaze. I'm there for you, BP. Oh, what? You're not streaming for a week because you're tired, you're mentally burned out? Don't worry about it. I'll go find somebody else. Good chance I'm not going to come back, you know. And you're just like, so and it's like you said, though, it's like it's not about streaming. It's about streaming. It's about creating content on TikTok. And like that was the one thing that kind of saved me a little bit when it came to when I took my break and with work, because it's a 30-second video, a 60-second video. Those are quick, you know, and those are easy for me, but you know, it's the activity you have to have on Instagram that's engaging, and you know, everything's one big symbiotic relationship. I've said it
absolutely,
1,000 times.
Yeah.
That feeds into one area, you know, which for you is your stream, but you know, but you know, kudos to you, because you could be like, hey, I'm partnered, I'm quitting my job, but you said, look, I'm quitting my job.
Imagine.
I'm an adult.
Yeah,
I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
you
can tell my wife I've quit my job. I'm not telling her. Jesus.
So, but you know, you're just like, but then you, then reality sets is like, look, but if I do that, I might as well get rid of my car. We're going to have to find a new place to live. By the way, you know, things are about to change. We're not eating out. We're not doing this. We're going to eating ramen noodles and hot dogs for a while, you know, kind of thing. So,
exactly,
you know, so kudos to you because you could have done it, but you didn't.
I feel like it's quite. You could get caught up in the hype of it. You could get caught up in your own hype and your own success at the time, and it's just like I said. It's not smart. Like becoming a partner didn't change anything for me, really. Like it didn't really do anything, except maybe if you type in someone's chat who before didn't answer you might answer you now because you have a purple tick next to your name. I don't think it did anyway. And again, this might not be what people want to hear, but it hasn't changed too much, you know. Like I didn't all of a sudden get sponsored. I don't have a single I have an Onyx, but I don't have a single sponsor. I haven't been approached by legitimate sponsors. Obviously there are dodgy ones. I've been approached by, you know, people who want to promote gambling and stuff, and that's literally the total opposite of what my streaming is about.
But I can give you one advice on that side, that is that you should reach out to some of them yourself, like make a certain how you call it, junket, like the paper with your achievements and what you represent and everything, and contact certain companies. That's how I got a bunch of my sponsors. Like, I got a deal with Monster Benelux now, and that only happened because I messaged the main guy of them. I had a deal with Arazi for my gaming chair and my desk, and it's because I reached out to them, you know. Sometimes you gotta put on your naughty shoes and just do it, you
know? That's not necessary. So, like, and I've told, like, Blazes, like, you need to reach out to these people, they can sponsor some stuff, but in a way, because, like, to me, a check mark is something that you've earned. Like, when Blaze got his check mark, it was different, you know, the requirements, and there wasn't an affiliate now. So, like, for you, you should wear your badge of, it's a badge of honor in a way, you know? Like, Blaze and I know that there, in during the esports time when there was LAN events, you know, if you're part of a team, you got partnered, you know? I mean, I've seen people get partnered with that don't even have an affiliate numbers. And you're just like, okay, you're with the esports team. But, you know, Blaze is, he's like coach because he's a marketing guy. You know, he's like, dude, do this. This is what, and I was like, you have to understand, Blaze, as an affiliated streamer, I'm really nothing to an extent to a corporate business. But when you're partnered, that carries a lot more weight. So like Blaze said, man, you know, put on your business shoes, and you know, it should be regardless.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe
the opportunities
that's something
are out
too,
there
like,
for you.
I'm terrible even in my own stream at, you know, plugging myself of, oh, you know, hit the follow button, or if you check, you might have a free Prime subscription. Like, I don't even say that in my own channel. I don't even run adverts on my channel. Like, I don't do any of that stuff. Like, I almost feel uncomfortable asking for it, you know? So maybe that is something, yeah, that I can work on and I can do better at. But yeah, I don't have a single sponsor.
I will let you borrow the Fragnalagen business manager, Joachim Blaze. He's cheap, free. Well, I can't negotiate that. That's his thing. But, you know, and that's what I've always liked working with Blaze, because he looks at things differently than I do. I'm like the, let's fucking go. We'll deal with this shit later. And Blaze is like, look, sister, let's talk about this, you know.
Yeah,
and
we'll rein it in a bit, right?
So, I mean, it's cool. It's a cool dynamic we have. He's from Belgium and I'm from the States. And, you know, it what we do works for us, you know. And, you know, I just don't think that the things that you've achieved doing what you've done, never sell yourself short, because you could have at any point in time sold yourself short to get, you know.
Imagine how many people have been trying to get a partner for 5 years, BPM, and they're still not partner. And
yeah,
you achieve that within a year. This is only that already is a big selling point, you know.
It's like you want to say, I hate you, but yeah, I don't. Because you developed the plan and it works for you, you know, but... you know, I always said I want to get partner when I turn 65 and I can retire. So that way, that'll be my full time. I have no excuse but to do full time streaming because I won't have it. I'll be retired. But, you know, I mean, the things that you achieved are because of you, you know, and your community. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without them, it'd be anywhere. And, like, I think when it comes, like, people always ask as well, they're like, oh, no, how did you do it in a year? Or, like, what are your tips for streaming? And, like, I think the first thing that I learned as well is you have to create content outside of Twitch as well. Like anyone can turn on a stream or their PC or their PlayStation and their Xbox and stream direct from there. But this day and age, everyone's doing that. You got to create content that's much more accessible and discoverable. Like, you know, discoverability on Twitch is zero. Like there are hundreds of people streaming to like zero or one people. So you've got to be more discoverable on other platforms. And you know, Twitter's great for it. Instagram is great for it. TikTok is super good for it these days. Like every sort of FIFA streamer that I know seems to now be on TikTok. I've been on it a little while, but as mentioned earlier, I'm not very consistent with it.
Dude,
but being on TikTok is super easy.
TikTok is the devil in a way. It's so addicting. And
I always get into bed, turn it on, and you know, go to bed at 11 o'clock. Before I know it's 12:30.
You can't turn it on before you're in bed. You cannot turn it on bed.
Oh, I'll just sit there forever.
We call it the rabbit hole because you go down the rabbit hole, you know. And
absolutely.
It's like, I think Blaze makes really good TikToks, but his TikToks, they get good views. But he's like, what are you at, 100 followers now, Blaze? Blaze?
Let me check. I'm checking. Okay, yeah. I'm actually checking. I'm opening up my TikTok.
Because I think TikTok, TikTok confuses me though as well. Like, I can have one video that will do really well, and then I'll do like part two to it, and we get like no views. And like, I don't get the algorithm of TikTok and how it works.
It's just, I think it's changing for us old. It does not like us older people. Because like I'll actually
I'm at 330 something followers.
Blaze?
But yeah, I like from the 5-6 videos I post, like half of them get like 2k plus views always, so it's a good thing.
What's your most viewed one? What's your most viewed?
69 like, million probably.
No. 3 or 4k. Not and that nice, much.
Man. Yeah, like, I don't get it because I thought like I would do like little edits on mine and I would get like, you know, like a 200 views. Like for me, that's, and I have 2,000, almost 2,400 followers, right? So I would get like, you know, 200 views and I'm like, yeah, I'm happy with that. And then I did a TikTok with this girl that got hit in the face with a horse. She's like got her head next to the horse and the horse hits her in the face. And it got like 3K views, I think. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, but you know, I just don't get it. But I mean, it's fun. It's a different way to engage. And I had one guy at work. He's like, dude, all I see is girls shaking their butt and doing this. And I was like, because that's the videos you like, idiot. Because like, yeah, it's nice.
You
because,
like, and you're looking at, they're gonna keep showing you those videos.
That's,
yeah,
it's like most of mine are like, you know, like military stuff and gaming stuff. That's what I see all the time, and it's a good way. But like, I think I did one, you know, just recently where I was saying, I was like, all, you know, all the big content creators are like, be original, be yourself, do your own thing. But they're waiting for the next trend to come along so they can do it too, so they can get the views. And I'm like, just be yourself, man.
Yeah,
because like I may not be someone cup of tea when they're watching streamers, but it's that other person that's looking for someone like me that's old, bad at gaming, balding, and but makes it try to be entertaining. Whereas like with you have something that people want. You know, you're providing a viable, you know, means of content for people to absorb. So once again, golf clap. I'm golf clapping.
Thank you. You've got to be yourself, haven't you? You can't pretend to be something you're not. Like if you're not a big, loud, entertaining person, don't fake it. Don't try and be that, because that's not you. Like there'll be people out there who will watch you for you. And I think that's what you want people to watch you for. They don't want to watch you because you pretend to act like somebody else. It's like people just see through it, don't they? Like you got to do what you enjoy, otherwise you won't enjoy doing it, and then you will stop streaming.
And it happens so much because it's like, you know, before it was like, and it's still going on. It's like, don't play this game. This game is oversaturated. You will never get discovered. I'm like, but that's where, like you said, creating content outside of Twitch will feed you regardless. Blaze could play Scribble.io. And no one comes, but when Blaze is creating content about him and things he does, those people will come regardless. But unfortunately, that is the truth now. You don't want to play unsaturated games because the discoverability, especially on Twitch, is horrible. It's the worst. And so everyone wants to be discovered. Everyone wants that quick, like, you know, I want to get my check mark and like, you know, I'm going to go right past affiliate and get partnered. And I was like, well, let me know how that works out for you. But, you know, people are using other forms to get, you know, that success. But I think the thing that I've noticed is that people that have used TikTok to grow on Twitch, now that people are, the cycle was kind of run for them, you know, where they would have like 150, 250 viewers. Now those same people now are 30 viewers, you know? So you're like, now what do you do? And then, I mean, that's why I try to play a variety of stuff. But like for you, I mean, is there any other game that you play that you stream that people will be like, oh, I never thought you played that?
Yeah, like recently, like I've not played as much FIFA recently. Like as I said before, like the game cycle is coming to an end. We get the new game in September, and like I've played FIFA 21. I've played it so much. I've played thousands of games. I've grinded the game as much as anyone can grind it. So for me personally, that like the game is coming to an end, I'm not playing it as much. But I've started getting into Formula One quite a bit lately. So I started playing Formula One on my channel.
Well, Junket, how do you say Formula One?
Formula. Oh. So yeah, I just started playing that like last week before, and again, obviously, it's not what I'm known for, and I'm genuinely terrible at the game, and so we don't get the viewers and stuff for it. But I'm having so much fun, like playing something else and playing something different, and like with Formula One, you can actually play with your viewers a lot easier than you can in FIFA. Like they can actually play the games. Like I think it's up to 22 people you can have in a race, so you can get to actually interact in another way with your community as opposed to FIFA, where if you did play a game, like I don't really play games with viewers in FIFA, but if you did, it's just one-on-one, you know, or maybe pro clubs, another game, but I don't really play pro clubs. It's not really my thing.
You're gonna laugh, but I actually got a sponsorship deal with Next Level Racing, and I got a full chair sitting behind me that I got to install and everything, with a screen to mount and everything.
It's so much fun.
And the only thing I did was reach out to them, send them a DM on Twitter, gave them my info and everything on my socials, and they said, okay, we're going to send you a set of 1K. Boom, it's worth 1K what I got standing behind me. I'll even give you their info, you know, I'll even tell you how to do it. Like, I want to help you with that. Like, Junket knows I've actually helped a lot of people with a lot of different stuff, and I don't mind doing that, you know, like, that's just me.
I told you, BP, I'm going to let them borrow you. You can borrow them for a while.
I appreciate it.
When it comes to Formula One, do you have a favorite driver?
No, like, I could tell you the drivers, but I don't really have a favorite one yet. I've started to watch Drive to Survive on Netflix as well.
Oh, is it Drive to? Yeah, dude, I love that show.
I've watched the first season. I've just
like you guys out here. If you're not fans of Formula One, please go and watch that show. But you guys will realize the like the politics behind it and stuff. And,
yeah, I'm a complete noob with Formula One. Like I don't know any of it, but it's so good to watch. So like you wouldn't even need to be into Formula One to watch it. Like some of the stuff they do and they say and. Like the behind the scenes stuff you get a glimpse at is genuinely really, really interesting. So no, I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
I know Blaze has a guy he kind of likes, but you know, I mean, it was like Max Verstappen.
Oh, yeah. Because I told you he's half Belgian, right?
Yeah.
Like Lance Stroll is half Belgium, his mom is Belgium, and Max Verstappen, his mom is Belgium. So I guess our women are pretty, and all the rich men marry them or something like that. I don't know.
Like, I will tell you this, like, here in the States, I've been to, like, the NASCAR race, I've been to the IndyCar races, but Formula One, when they did it in Indianapolis, the U.S. Grand Prix, was the most, like, Formula One fans are like on another level. They like travel the world following their team. And I remember I had like to my right when I went, I had two Australian guys, and to my left, I had three Brazilian guys. And I was like, and it's the loudest thing, but most impressive thing I've ever seen in my life. Most impressive thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mercedes McLaren. That's all I'm going to say. So, but I mean, no, I think that's what happens. I don't think people realize that when they're following a content creator, when you see them play a different game, maybe they are kind of burned out on what they've been playing for a year. I mean, even if you play a game for 6 months, you got to take a break because it is taxing. It wears on you. And I just wanted to know what the game you play that would, you know, people would be like, what? Like I was like, is he gonna say Stardew Valley or something? I don't know, you know. So
no, like again, like touching on what I said earlier about just the sheer amount of time I work, I really don't have time to play like any other games at right now. Like, Junior, don't like FIFA is the main, like the only game I play really. Like I've played other games. Like I'm a big fan of the Uncharted series. I really like Uncharted series. I like sort of like first person. Like I don't even play Warzone. Like I've never even played Warzone. Like just time wise, I don't even play it.
Look,
like FIFA really is like the only game.
If you want to start playing
really
it,
put time into.
We have some British people in our Blaze, and I call ourselves Team Bromance. We can bring you in. And the worst part about it, you probably will do so much better than me, and I will feel.
I would be terrible. Like I think I'm bad. I am bad at Formula One. I'd be even worse at Warzone.
Here's a question. And maybe we should put this as a poll on Twitter. How many likes on if we post a Twitter comment, would it take for you to play like Madden 2021 or something, American football?
I'll just play it. I'll play it. Yeah. I don't even know anything about American football either. Apologies. I wouldn't even know how to play it. I don't know the rules.
How upset would your community be? Like, you're playing that game.
They probably just take the piss out of me, if I'm being honest. Like, yeah.
I was like, you're playing that game. You know?
You know what? I think they'd be all right with it because, as mentioned, like, it is like the coming to the end of FIFA. We kind of call it like in the summer, you kind of play other games until the next iteration of FIFA comes out. So I think during here, I'd get away with it. If it was in the middle of FIFA, there'd be question marks. But I think in the downtime, I think they'd be all right with it.
Yeah, because I think like Blaze has been grinding the crap out of Warzone. He's competed in Twitch rival events and stuff, and you know, I want him to have the most success, but there's that game that you have to have where you don't have to work. Like for me, it's no joke, PGA 2K21. It's my game that I get to play, and I don't have to worry about getting, you know, picking Blaze up all the time or give me your money. I want your money. But it's like, I think as a content creator, you have to have that game because, well, I mean, like for you, like you do it for the whole season, so it is that grind. But there's, and you've been playing it for so long, I mean, there's a point in time where you're like, I don't even want to play this game anymore, you know? So, I mean, I think you have to have that game. And I think Formula One is a pretty good one for you.
The good thing with FIFA is it almost has like it comes out at the ending of September usually. And there's all the whole hype, you know, who's going to be on the front of the the game cover and all of this, you know. But then, you know, the game comes out, everybody starts grinding, you start with a basic team, blah, blah, blah. People start getting the game through, like, from ending September till December, people are buying it, you know, the young kids are getting it later because, you know, they're getting money from mama and dada because they have a good report card or something like that, right?
But yeah, new people get it Christmas as well.
Yeah, and then you have the first big hype, which is in January, team of the season. No, team of the year. Yeah. That's the first big hype. And then the second biggest hype, like from both of the moments, is the team of the year. That's in May, June somewhere. And in between that, you got a bunch of other stuff happening. So as a content creator and really liking FIFA, because I've played it for years myself, if you really want to build content around it, Junket, you can actually make almost, 9 to 10 months a year content from that, right? So
I'm going full-time FIFA.
But that is true. Like, you can at least 9 to 10 months of content creation, and then in the summer periods, kids start, you know, going on holiday normally in normal times, you know, and getting out of the house finally and playing with their mates when they don't have school. So that content kind of, you know, slows down a bit. And I gotta say, like content-wise, this is a good game. And every year you got a new version coming out with new stuff. So, and like he's doing now, playing the Formula 1.
Formula
1.
You gotta say it right, man.
And maybe some other stuff is actually a good step away from it. But he can still talk about FIFA and get hype around it. And I'm pretty sure when you get in like 2020 that people will be back in your stream looking how you build up, you know, how you build up everything and how you build up your team and the people that joined in later had a lot of money
up again in 22. Yeah.
So well, not on the game 22 coming out, you know, but like I'm pretty sure your game will be like your stream will grow back to what it was. But I understand when you stream a lot less hours and you can put less time in it, that it's not that easy, you know. And yeah, it is what it is, right?
And I think people maybe probably also underestimate the amount of time you put into a stream, but when you're not actually live, the amount of like content you prepare and you prep and the work you put into your stream, and even things like being interacting with other streamers on Twitch or in Twitter, like the 2 or 3 hours I'll stream, I'll put way more time into doing other stuff. And especially as the type of content I create, the way I run my account isn't based around FIFA points where you can get stuff quickly. It takes a lot longer to grind those packs and grind that content that people want to watch. Like it's it just takes so much more time. And I feel like it's what you have to be constantly interacting with people. You know, you can't just not interact with people within the community as well. You have to always be interacting with people, which again is time consuming.
Time, it's the one thing that you can lose, but you can never get it back. But right, you're gonna do fine. I look forward to seeing the days like, hey, full-time streamer.
How do people have holidays? We're talking of holidays, how do you stream full-time and go away on holiday?
That's what I'm telling you.
Just chatting.
You have some people, you know, like streaming from their holidays, but then again, you know, it's not a real holiday in my opinion then, you know. But honestly, if you are full-time streamer, again, when you have your sponsors and you're going on a holiday for 2 weeks, they're not going to bother you. They understand you got to take 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off. They will leave you alone, you know, and you can get back on and grow your subs and whatever after your holiday. But if you're somebody that relies on subs and donations and stuff like that, and you go on holiday, you have a problem. It's like not getting an income for that period. Plus, you'll have to build it back up, which is even more annoying, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think only doing this like a year as well, like I'm constantly learning. Like I'm learning new things all the time. Like it's not like I've been doing this for 5 or 10 years and I know everything. Like I learn new things all the time.
About streaming, potentially
streaming full time. Like I don't have all the answers yet, and like there's stuff I've learned tonight just listening to and talking to the two of you as well. So I've tried new things. I've tried things in my stream that haven't worked, and I've made mistakes in my streams. I know I have. Like I know I have, and I look back and I think, what have I done that for? But you got to try stuff, I suppose.
Full send. I think that's what the kids nowadays say. Full send it. But considering that the success you gained so quick, so now you're at the point where you like, okay, now I can figure out what I want to do. And you have a good head on your shoulder, and the sky is the limits for you. So I think we've said it before. Blaze and I have said it before. The only person that's going to stop your success is going to be you.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm done hanging it up. So, but, we come to the end of the podcast, and we've doing this thing this season called Two Random Questions, where I'll ask a question and Blaze will ask you a question.
Right.
So, what's your PayPal account number? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. All right, Blaze, you want to go first? Or you want me to go first? I think I got a good one.
You can go first on the good one.
I should never say that. And then, all right. You're going to a pub, right? I said that correctly. Going to a pub.
Yep.
Who would you want to have a pint with? Jeremy Clarkson or Wayne Rooney?
Oh,
that's a hard one, dude.
Is a hard one because like, I'm a football fan and I'm a United fan, and so like Rooney is amazing.
And it's
but
like,
I feel like you would have more fun with Jeremy Clarkson though. No, the United fan in me, I have to say Rooney. Just and as long as what I asked him, he would tell me the honest truth. I'd say Wayne Rooney.
Did you watch the Clarkson Farm show on Netflix?
Well, I haven't watched it yet,
dude.
But I know
you gotta
got
watch it because
he has a season.
He had a sheep called Wayne Rooney.
Oh, did?
Oh my god!
That's what I was like. Oh god! So all right. So I thought I was like, okay.
I got how do you guys call Rooney the white?
The white Pele.
And Pele's like the most legendary player ever, like from the old days, Junkhead. He's even older than you. You know,
Pele? Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. And he's like a legend. And Rooney, he I don't know. Rooney was like, if you would look at him, you would think he's an unnatural football player in a way, you know, like he was drinking beer and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure he couldn't normally. He was, getting to parties and he got into trouble a few times, but still the amount of games he won for his team and goals he scored, and it was just like he was born for it, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, and that's why he's that's why he's the white pilly, you know.
That's why I knew a little bit about Wayne Rooney, but I was like, this is going to be a good one. I honestly thought about this one when he said you're going to be on. You know, we had to reschedule 2 weeks ago. I thought of this question. I was like, I can't wait to ask this one. So, all right, the floor is yours, Blaze.
Okay, what's the best player in Manchester United now for you? That's the Portuguese dude, right? What's his name again?
Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah. Imagine if you had to trade off Bruno Fernandes, who would you trade him with?
Oof.
Are all teams open? All teams open.
All teams, all players, except from Messi and Ronaldo, of course. And De Bruyne,
well,
because he's Belgian.
Just,
no, I'm joking.
Just say that,
he can, no. Well, no, but Ronaldo and Messi are a bit special. But anybody else than him?
I would say Haaland. I know United have got Cavani for another year, but I would say United need a long-term striker, which could be Mason Greenwood. But I would say probably Haaland, because we need a striker, or Kante, because we need a CDM. So either Haaland or Kante. Because Pogba always plays really well when he plays with Kante for France. So hopefully they could Kante could come to United and bring the best out of Paul Pogba, because he's not really been at his best.
I love the Haaland meme.
When he's played for United.
The Haaland meme is so cool, yeah. Man. There's so many TikToks about it. Haaland,
right.
Haaland. Da, 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 da. It's so funny, man. And he runs so different than anybody else. And I actually read today that they're going to give him a special way of running in the next FIFA.
In VVA, he's always like a custom animation, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to give him a custom running animation because he runs so much different than other people.
Yeah, I watched the EA sort of gameplay trailer the other day, and it sounds like there's going to be thousands of new animations in the game. Everyone's going to have their own animation.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
It'll be very new gen focused as well, by the sounds of it, the next FIFA. I think if you're on old gen for FIFA 22, I think you're in a bit of trouble.
Okay. Mm. Like, I didn't understand anything. Striker.
I just asked
CBR.
Him to.
No, he said CBR. I think that's like constant bit rate, I think, or something. Striker. I think I kind of know from you guys. So, I mean, I'm going to go. I need to learn more about FIFA. I think it's. I don't know. The thing is,
they built such a huge thing around that game that, like I said, you can play the whole year around, kind of, you know?
I mean, that's what I love about this podcast, because it was only fair because, like, when we did Amon Green, that played for the Green Bay Packers, I was, like, talking about all the stuff, and Blaze is like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know? I was like,
We actually had Amon Green on the show, BPM, and he's a guy that has the record of the longest running yards for the Green Bay Packers, which is, huge.
Okay.
He's like a superhero, you know? It's the kind of guy they'll make a movie about one day,
like,
you know?
I fanboyed a little bit about it, and Blaze is fanboying to you, BP, about
this. Yeah, I have no idea who he is, to be honest.
But this is the time where you get to shout out all your socials, and you guys, all his social media will be down in the description below. And before he shouts that stuff out, make sure you guys are go ahead and follow him and check out his content, show him all the love and support, and you know, I eventually look forward to the day where that you are a full-time content creator.
I hope so. Maybe
let's hope you can reach it, man. And you did get a lot of support from other big full-time streamers, right? They like
I've had so much support from
guys I looked up to, actually. So I was actually wondering, when are you gonna be part of the what's that, Sideman crew? You know?
Oh, never. Million miles away from that. But it'd be great to like do like they do the charity football match. I know they haven't done one in a while, but it would be great. But
Junket will know the Sideman. KSI is part of,
KSI,
yeah,
it's
part
yeah.
of them. Yeah,
yeah
so
yeah.
And he was a big FIFA streamer, actually. That's how he started out, you know?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was one of the originals, wasn't he? Yeah, but no, I've been incredibly lucky with like the support with like other streamers as well. Like, I know, Junk, you won't know, but like, Frog is a big FIFA streamer. Mm-hmm. He plays the game very similar to I do as well. He was like the first like big partnered FIFA streamer to like show me a lot of support, and he helped me a lot with things. Like, he even taught me how to make my own emotes on my phone when I was new and I didn't even know how to make my own emotes. Like, the FIFA analyst showed me a lot of support. God, there's so many. FUTFG has shown me a lot of support, and like there are so many who have like really like just helped me and shown support, and it's really nice that we've had raids from Matt HD Gamer and raids from Bateson. So like,
yeah, Bateson and Matt HD Gamer, they were guys I looked up to like a long time ago.
Right, already. Like there's some of the guys who like when I first started playing Ultimate Team was FIFA 15. A friend of mine introduced me to him, and so from there that's how I kind of learned about the YouTube scene. And like Matt and Bateson and Nepenthes and 2Sync, like they were like the first like FIFA YouTubers that I watched as well. So I've been very, very lucky with the support from people.
So yeah, take the time, shout out your Twitter, your Twitch, anything, Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, so my Twitter is just @BPM_man. My TikTok is just @BPM man. And my Twitch is Bronze Pac-Man. So they're kind of all a little bit different. I'm going to try next year, well, for FIFA 22, to try and sync them all up so they're all kind of the same. But yeah, there are the socials. And like you said, they'll be linked down below. So at the moment, we aim to stream Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, 9 p.m., a couple of hours. And at the moment, it's very F1, Formula heavy at the moment.
Formula oh. Let's go.
And we need to get him a seat to sit in, right?
Yes.
Oh, no, the seat. No, there we go. I need a proper chair. I need a chair. Need that there we one. Go. Have you chair sponsor.
Have you seen the one where, yeah, you need like a good, all that stuff, but like the racing one that's on like the arms that move up and down and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't want to show
Blaze. Yeah, some of the racing rings are crazy, like the pedals and the wheels. And I keep getting asked, am I going to buy one? And I'm like, I don't have, you know, £300 to spend on a racing wheel. So, hey, maybe one day though, because they do look like a lot of fun.
And who's the FIFA? He's a big FIFA streamer here in the States. His like stream room is all like soccer field, the grass, the
I'm not going to say his name. Yeah, Castro.
Castro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, I was like, that's bad. Yeah. And he is looking for those sponsors to set up his stream room like that too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Imagine if you had a stream room like Castro. I mean, god damn it. Imagine with the screen go dropping down and,
Or, you see, you're thinking small. What if you had Manchester United sponsor your stream room there?
That they would be like dream, wouldn't it? Like having like your team, your boyhood team you supported your entire life, like support you or sponsor you in some form of way. Like, I don't think it gets better than that, does it?
Imagine if you could like stream from the stadium from Manchester.
Could you imagine having
right in the middle of the pitch,
right in the middle,
set up? I mean, could you imagine the lighting?
Maybe I'll get
the players
to open my packs for me. I'll go around to each of the players, and I can open my packs.
I mean, maybe you know, again, put on your naughty shoes, come with a plan, and message their marketing department,
right,
man. Maybe
dream
they'll
big,
be totally
right?
up for it. Yeah,
dream like big.
So you guys, make sure you're showing BP all the love and support, because only more the greater things are going to happen. He told us earlier he's sandbagging all the greatness that he has back in his back pocket. Just wait for everything to happen for him, because it's going to happen. And these are what I think content creation needs, are people like BP Man right now. So anything else, Blaze, you want to throw in there?
No, it was really hard to actually get him on the podcast, but I'm really happy he was here.
That's what she said.
Me too. I'm glad we finally got to do it.
Thanks for all the entertaining streams during the lockdown that I was able to watch. And thank you for... Honestly, I lost a lot for FIFA at some point, and I didn't play last year's FIFA. I like maybe played 5 games. That's it. And this year, I got the game after I saw you playing. So just so you know. So thank you for that.
I appreciate the kind words, man. Thank you. Endless
love. Well, that's a stalker mode engage.
Something
I've
like
made
that.
It. I got a stalker.
So yeah, stalker. You guys show him all the love and support. Blaze, you wanna do the role reversal thing we've been doing? We like mixing it up.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're Well, it's different than FIFA, but we'll do it FIFA style. What do you think?
Yeah.
If you're... let me think about it for a second. If you're not scoring goals, you're probably...
goal lagging! You guys be good!
Yeah.
Mom! Get the camera! I gotta kill! Mom, I gotta kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner, I'm dying to the gas!